Today I want to talk with you about the idea of hearing God's voice. We who are in Christ, well, we know that we're God's children, that Jesus is our Savior and our Good Shepherd, and that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The question that some might disagree over is whether we can ever hear God's voice to us, specifically and individually. Does God speak to His children, giving them specific instructions, warnings, direction for their lives, and encouragement? Many new believers would instinctively answer, well, of course He would. Why would our Heavenly Father never speak to us? If earthly fathers speak words of encouragement and counsel to their children, why should our Heavenly Father refuse to speak to His children? But there are two schools of thought about this issue, and they're divided pretty equally among believers throughout the world. Many believe, as I have mentioned, that God speaks to us, and they'll often declare that He has spoken to them at various times and in various ways. And I have to confess I'm in that camp. From my earliest days in Christ, I've never supposed that God would never speak to me. It never even occurred to me in those early days that any serious Christian would deny that. One scripture that I've quoted on this subject, and many others have as well, those who believe God is a speaking God, comes from John, where Jesus declared, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Our thought is that if you're one of Jesus' sheep, you will undoubtedly hear your Master's voice. God will speak to you personally throughout your life. Another verse that suggests that God speaks to us personally is when Paul writes, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." If we are led by the Holy Spirit, this strongly implies that God must be communicating with us in some way, form, or fashion. How could the Holy Spirit lead us if He never communicates with us? So, what about the other side? How can they possibly suggest that God does not speak to His children? Well, to be fair, this is not quite what they're saying. They will tell you that God does indeed speak to us, but He speaks to us only through the Bible. This is the way He speaks to the world and to His children, and this is the only way He'll ever speak to anybody these days. Do not expect any divine impressions on your heart. Do not think God will ever speak to you through dreams. Don't look for visions. Don't even consider that God may trouble your spirit when you're about to make a serious mistake. God will only speak through the Bible, and if you ever think He's speaking to you through any other means, you are deceiving yourselves. These folks will admit that God has spoken individually and personally to men and women in the Bible days. Yes, He spoke to Abraham, He spoke to Moses, He spoke to Paul, He spoke to Peter. But they believe at a certain point He stopped speaking to men and women personally and now only talks through the Bible. If you want to hear from God, you must open your Bible and start reading, and you will learn all you will ever need to know about how to live, what God expects of you, and, of course, how to be saved. Don't expect anything more than this. The major issue that separates these two schools of thought is this. Has there been a time when God changed from speaking to His people to determining that He will never speak again apart from the written words of the Bible? Most of the people who affirm that God has stopped speaking personally and individually will also declare that He has not only stopped speaking, He stopped doing a great many other things as well. He no longer does miracles. He no longer grants supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. He no longer gives dreams or visions. He no longer dramatically heals the sick. Essentially, these people believe that about the only supernatural thing God ever does anymore is to save sinners. Don't look at the book of Acts as any kind of pattern for the church, where they laid hands on the sick, spoke in tongues, heard God's voice, prophesied, and so forth. All of that has ended, and today we're to simply read the Bible and live godly moral lives. Do not dare to expect anything more than that. If you ask these folks why God stopped doing these things and when this cessation of the supernatural happened, they generally give one of two answers. Some suggest that all God's supernatural works ended with the death of the last apostle, who would be John. After that, a divine whistle was blown, and the church calmed down and started acting, well, about the way most churches do today. Others will tell you that the supernatural works of the Holy Spirit ended once the Bible was completed. God was showing pity on the church up to that point because they had no New Testament. But once they did, all the powerful working of the Holy Spirit ceased, and all that the church needed could be found somewhere between the books of Genesis and Revelation. Don't expect divine guidance. Do not expect dramatic healings, and pay no attention to your dreams, regardless of how dramatic or vivid they may be. The problem with this view is that if it is true, one should expect a plethora of biblical confirmation on this doctrine. This is such a big deal. If God really has decided to end all His supernatural work and guidance, the Bible ought to indicate this multiple times and in such a clear fashion that nobody could miss it. And of course, it does not. The best any of these folks can do is to share the verse from 1 Corinthians which says, "When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." They say that that which is perfect is the Bible, and that which is in part refers to the miraculous works of the Holy Spirit, including His speaking directly to us. Now, that's an incredible stretch of a verse that could be interpreted a dozen different ways. To throw away all the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit on the basis of one verse, which does not plainly state this, seems theologically reckless. Keep in mind that the central point of this doctrine is that God speaks through the Bible and only through the Bible. Well, I have no problem with the idea that God speaks through the Holy Scriptures. I came to Jesus primarily as a result of reading the Bible, reading the Gospels of Jesus, and being convicted by the Holy Spirit. But what I do have a problem with is that God only speaks through the Bible. All other forms of divine communication have been canceled and are null and void these days. The Bible does tell us much, for sure. Most importantly, it tells us how we can be saved. It declares boldly and often that if we'll put our faith in Jesus Christ, believing in His life, His death, and His resurrection, and receive Him as our Savior and Lord, we will be forgiven and live forever as children of God. The Bible also makes plain the kind of lifestyle God expects and requires. We're to love God with all of our heart and to love our fellow man as ourselves. We're to be patient, kind, and compassionate. We're to honor our parents, help the poor, stand up for the weak. We're to avoid sexual immorality, murder, theft, and drunkenness. When the Bible speaks on any issue, we have no business seeking any further revelation from God, either through dreams, visions, or personal revelations. Let's consider a young man who's contemplating which career to choose, and he decides he wants to be a bank robber. Now, that sounds like an easy life. Just rob a bank about once a year, live off that, and then in another year he can knock over another bank and then take it easy. But this young man gets born again. He gives his life to Jesus. Then he picks up his Bible, starts reading, and comes across the verse which says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good." He immediately realizes that his career goal of being a bank robber is being challenged. So, should he pray about this and seek God for a direct word as to whether to cancel his plans to be a bank robber? No, there's no need to pray about that or look for some dream or word from heaven about him being a bank robber. The Bible has forbidden this, and that settles it. Prayer for any further guidance on this issue would be a form of rebellion. And this could be said for many situations. The Christian man who's contemplating leaving his wife and moving into his attractive co-worker's apartment does not need to spend weeks of heavy prayer and fasting about that. The Bible's condemnation of adultery settles the matter. No further words are necessary. So in these situations, God has already spoken, and all we need to do is listen to His word. But there are many things in our lives that are not covered by the Bible. What about a young man who's trying to decide whether to attempt to become a professional baseball player or go to medical school and become a doctor? There's nothing in the Bible that addresses this. He could read from Genesis to Revelation a dozen times, and he would never find a single verse that deals with his debate about baseball versus doctoring. Both are legitimate careers. Both can pay very well. And if he has skills in baseball and the intellect and compassion to be a good doctor, both seem within his reach. But what does God think about it? Does God even have an opinion? Can he pray to his Father and ask Him to direct him? But if he does pray and God does direct him one way or the other, is this not God speaking to him? No, he probably won't hear audible words coming down from heaven, but nobody expects that. What we're saying is that God can and does communicate with His children and make His will known to them. We face many such issues over the course of our lives. Here's a young man who likes two different ladies, Susan and Debbie. He wants to marry one of them, but which one should he ask? They're both devout Christians and have pleasant personalities. Can he pray to the Father and ask his direction, or should he simply pick one and hope it works out? Well, he could read the Bible all year long, and there'd be nothing in it that would tell him to marry Susan or Debbie. Not a single verse. James tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This strongly suggests that God will speak to our hearts in some way or another and show us the way to go. There's no point in asking God for wisdom if we are certain God never speaks to anyone personally and individually. Sure, the Bible can tell us how to live, but it cannot tell us who to marry, what career to choose, where to live, what house to buy, which college to attend, and so forth. Are we just on our own in these matters? Or is there a speaking, communicating Heavenly Father who can lead us by the Holy Spirit and direct us in even the smallest matters? Many years ago, I was living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I woke up one morning with a vivid remembrance of a strange dream. I dreamed that I was in a moving truck and was driving my family to Texas. In the dream, I could see a map, and I could see cities of Fort Worth and Dallas in near proximity to each other. I'd never lived in Texas, and I knew almost nothing about the state. I didn't even realize that Dallas and Fort Worth were essentially sister cities, existing side by side with a number of suburbs in between. Upon awakening, I found a map of Texas and eagerly looked to see if Dallas and Fort Worth were in the places I had seen in the dream, and sure enough, they were. I concluded God might possibly be leading us to move to Texas. I had a cousin who pastored a church below Fort Worth and began to consider moving near him and helping him with the church. I did not make a decision strictly based on that one dream, but God confirmed his direction through many other ways, and eventually I found myself in a moving truck transporting our family and our furniture to our new home in Texas. That was in 1988, and I've been living in Texas ever since. The vast majority of my ministry, and by far the greatest amount of fruit that has come through my ministry, has happened while I lived in Texas. And it was that strange dream and that map I had seen in the dream that first alerted me to the fact God had plans for me in the state of Texas. Until then, I had never considered moving to Texas, never desired it, never prayed for it, and paid no attention to it. Today, Texas has been my home for the last 35 years. After I was engaged to Benedicta, the devil put fear in my heart about marrying her. Even though I loved her and we had spent many hours talking on the phone, I had very little personal time with her. What if I was making a big mistake that would ruin my ministry? At one point, my fears got the best of me, and I was prepared to tell her I must break off our engagement. I went to bed that night thinking that the next day I would tell her this. But before I woke up that morning, I had a vivid and strange dream which required little interpretation. The dream clearly indicated that my fears were of the devil and were not coming from God. Instantly I felt peace. God was confirming that it was His will that I should marry this sweet, wonderful lady that I loved. All my fears left, and we were married in a couple of months. Had I gone with my fears, I would have missed out on one of the greatest blessings of my life, and more importantly, my ministry would have never been as effective as it had been with her at my side. Yes, my friends, I believe that God speaks to His children, and not just through the Bible. I could give you instance after instance of divine guidance in my life. He has warned me of mistakes I was about to make. He has comforted me with words of encouragement. He has given me directions when I didn't know which way to turn. Where would I be without the voice of the Lord, both from the Bible and from the many ways He communicates with His children? Do not let the critics and skeptics tell you that the Holy Spirit has retired, and now all we can do is read the Bible and try to be good little boys and girls. We are children of God, children of our Heavenly Father, and followers of Jesus Christ, and He has assured us that His sheep will indeed hear His voice.